We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You've had a chance to witness a Bears game with Kevin Warren. There's this incredible display of the incredible food that he talks about in Chicago. And, you know, he loves this city and loves people so much that, you know, he sets out days in the week where he actually fasts and prays. And as someone who is deeply tethered to faith, I appreciate you and I honor the leadership that you have brought to the city of Chicago and to this organization.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the mayor of Chicago. That is Brandon Johnson talking about our next guest. He's here in studio. It is Kevin Warren, the Bears president, barely a year into the job, moving at the speed of sound. We watched everything that happened yesterday, the plans for a new Soldier Field, a dome by the lakefront, and obviously tonight is the draft. It's going to be a very special night for the Bears with the first overall pick, and then the ninth pick is also a really good pick. Good morning, Mr. President, and welcome to the program.
Thank you for being here.
No, it really is a pleasure to be here with you all. I appreciate everything you all have meant to Chicago sports and to the entire sports world. People know you around the country. I get a chance to travel, and they ask me, have I been on your show? Now I can tell them yes. And so it's good to be here. You're right. This is an exciting day. It's been an exciting week. I thought yesterday, you know, we had an opportunity to start to roll out the plan, and then tonight with the draft, I mean, the draft has become an entity upon itself. So to be able to draft some young, talented men who hopefully will be able to come in and have a massive impact on this franchise is truly special.
Big part of this is messaging. And so let's talk about yesterday. You unveiled the plan. It's massive, $4.6 billion. And half of that is coming from or projected to come from the public, the government entities and public financing. In this day and age, in this city, you live downtown. You know all the different problems and challenges that Brandon Johnson faces, that Governor Pritzker faces. How do you reconcile the priorities? Because every dollar spent toward every dollar of public money spent toward a stadium project is $1 that's not spent towards something else. How do you reconcile that and answer that question?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that hopefully we started to answer yesterday, and here over the next coming hours and days and weeks that we will be able to answer is the fact that, you know, the project, as you look at it, will create opportunities to be able to fund some of these other deficits that may exist. And so, you know, that's why we talked about it really is an investment. I mean, sometimes in certain situations, there are grants that may come or it may be a one-sided financial relationship. But this is truly one of those ones for us to be able to commit over $2 billion. And I said it yesterday, name me the last time that a private investor, a private company, a private family has spent over $2 billion in the city of Chicago, or even $1 billion.
Rickets are close.
Yeah.
The Rickets would be close.
And you, I'm glad you said that. First of all, I have so much respect for what the Ricketts family has done. They've done an incredible job. I love their organization. I love all their organizations. And what they've been able to do in that part of town has been fascinating and very impactful. And the only difference is the fact they own that entire development, and not taking anything away, because what they've done has been massive. This is a $2 billion, maybe I should clarify my statement, a $2 billion investment in a publicly owned entity. That has not happened in a while, and it hasn't happened with $2 billion or $1 billion. Mm. But I think the bigger thing to think about is by us being able to come together and to do this, you know, as we work through these different issues, this will unlock opportunities even from a financial standpoint that will allow the city and the state to be able to fund some of these other programs that maybe are not funded properly here. So in other words, this becomes a conduit to unlock future revenue streams.
So I think as we look at this, we understand that they purchased the Arlington Heights property before
yes.
you became president of the Bears.
Yes.
But I'm sure you were talking to them in some level. You kind of understood what was going on.
Yes.
You come in. They've spent $197 million, which yes. is tons of money, on the Arlington Heights property. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about a publicly owned but privately backed new dome stadium. Why would the Bears not want to own their own stadium? Why did you choose the idea of putting the money we're talking about here into a publicly owned enterprise?
I have spent the last year listening and so talking to fans, talking to our players, our coaches, our, you know, our staff members, our elected officials, but just listening to what people have said and to try to listen to them and then be responsive. The thing that came up over and over and over again is that there's a unique opportunity to keep the Bears in Chicago. We've been on this museum campus for 100 years. The beauty of this city, I've spoken about it many times before, the architecture of downtown, the lake, all those different things to come together to have this partnership, it created a very unique opportunity that exists there. And so after listening and just trying to take all of this in to say, what could we do to help make this city of Chicago, who I deeply love, who the Bears have had a relationship with for many years, you know, what would be the best location to build a new home for the next 40 years? And over and over and over again, that museum campus came up as a location because we've already been there. And I was very sensitive also of making sure that we didn't displace any residents who live near there.
And to stay, the McCaskey family, willing to pledge $2 billion. And I think you talked about how the scope of that investment and what that means to the city potentially. I also wonder this. Forbes estimated that the Bears are worth over $6 billion. When you talk about the $2 billion pledge and the size of the size of the project, is that negotiable? Is that likely to increase in terms of if necessary, if you meet some resistance from government entities or the public disapproval, would the McCaskeys potentially pledge more money toward the project?
You know, we haven't had any of those discussions because we felt and studying all the stadium deals, I mean, going back to what I worked on in Minnesota, but studying stadium deals, you know, there's typically has been, and this is over the recent future. I mean, we have projects in Nashville going on now, projects in mm-hmm. Buffalo going on now, that it's been, you know, if you're able to have a relationship where it's 50-50, that's been a win-win for both sides. So where we are now, to go well over $2 billion, and that does not include the G5 loan with the NFL that we'll apply for, and hopefully we will receive it from the league. I mean, this puts this investment, you know, well over, I mean, almost $2.3 billion. And so I think obviously people understand how serious the McCaskey family is about this, how serious the Bears are, how serious I am, and to be able to come together in the city of Chicago to do all that we can to make this happen, it provides us with a special opportunity.
So you mentioned Minneapolis. In Minneapolis, the building has a light rail system, and that seems to be one of the things that's missing from the plans at the Dome on the Lake. I'm just curious. I mean, that's obviously a huge expense, and that's more money and all the rest of it, but we've gotten a lot of reaction about parking, about tailgating, the kind of stuff that you would expect to hear from fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard that stuff too.
Yes.
Is there any plan or any possibility of creating some kind of a light rail system that would alleviate a lot of those parking issues, a lot of those issues about where people are going to go, especially while one building's under construction and the other one is still open for your games?
You know, that is a great comment, and that's a great statement. And what we're hopeful is that it's these type of projects, a new stadium for the Bears, that create an opportunity for elected officials, for residents, for us to come together and say what else is needed. Because I'll say this, if we don't really focus on this city, and like you said, the ingress and egress, whether it's a light rail system, some of the infrastructure issues that we're facing right now, we're going to have some massive problems. I mean, because there's only so long you can defer maintenance on really the growth of a city. And as much as we get a chance to travel from a business standpoint, from a sports standpoint, and you all do the same, you look around, there's some other cities and states who have really planned very well. And you know, the difficulty here in Chicago, because the age of our city and our state, you know, we need to be really thoughtful as we go forward as far as not being judgmental, but what could we do together to fortify the city? And so that's one of the concerns. But I look at it not as a negative. I look at it as from an opportunity standpoint. I mean, you raise a valid, you know, question. We did have that in Minnesota. But it would be great for us to figure out what is the best way to move our residents around, because this is such a beautiful city from a museum standpoint, from a sports standpoint. And I think this is a time, hopefully this project will allow us to evaluate those type of issues.
A couple things about yesterday, the presentation. Why wasn't Governor Pritzker there? And then how do you respond to the criticism? Because some of us felt like the inclusion of an invocation and beginning with the prayer was somewhat inappropriate given what the ask was. You're asking the public basically to accept this project, and yet it began in a way that some of us felt like was a little bit much.
Well, let me address the Governor Pritzker situation. Any event that the Chicago Bears have, any event that I host or I'm involved with, he's always invited. And so, you know, I know that we did send an invitation to his staff. I know his schedule is probably the most busiest of any person in the state of Illinois. And I know for me, the number of invitations that I, you know, get and received, and he's always welcome and will always be welcome. And he's someone who I've, as I've said it many times before, have incredible admiration for him. I wish he could have come. I know his schedule is busy. But again, I hope people wouldn't read too much into to him not being there together. And in regards to the, you know, prayer, I just think, I know for me, I'm a man of faith, and I know the importance of you know, expressing our faith. And I think from a positive standpoint, you know, we're just grateful to be in Chicago. I know I'm grateful every single day to have this opportunity to be a member of the Chicago Bears. I'm grateful for our football team and to work on these projects. You know, when we worked on the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota, even then, and I told our staff then, to have an opportunity to work on one of these projects in your career is really unique. And then for me to have a chance to do it twice is really special. And I know from the McCaskey family, through everyone in the organization, we have a heart of gratitude to be able to bring something special here to Chicago.
You look at the pushback that you got. There's always going to be, you know, you present your plans. They were beautiful. The governor was skeptical. Chris Welsh, the speaker, said flat out that there's no appetite for it, and if you put it to vote, you would fail badly. How do you react to that? I mean, listen, Friends of the Park sent out a letter. You knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. You know there's going to be a lawsuit about that. I'm sure you're aware of a certain amount of pushback, but were you at all surprised at how quickly and how kind of completely the government pushback was in Springfield?
Yeah, no, I would say a word that I rarely use is surprise. I'm never surprised. And, you know, that's the world that we live in. This is the seat that I sit in. And I know one thing, that you will never, ever make progress as a person, as a city, as people, as a community, as a franchise, if you don't develop plans, robust plans that do dream big, and proceed forward. That's just the nature of the world that we live in. And I don't think there's ever been a stadium built. There's never been a world championship run. There's never been a radio station built or a business that from the first time that they came forward that everyone said that's the greatest idea. It just doesn't work that way. So I'm very mindful of the fact that I feel that we have a very strong plan. We've thought through it. We tried to address all of the financial, you know, issues and structure and construction. And, you know, we live in a city that a lot of elements are in place. You know, it's not like we're in the middle of rural America that we can just go and make all this happen. But I think if people really take the time to understand that we want this to be a collaborative relationship and to make this city even stronger than it already is. And so what we'll do is continually what we've done to get to this point is to stay strong, to be collaborative, to communicate, to listen, and hopefully to work with our elected officials to make this come to fruition.
So how robust is the plan to fight back or to respond to Friends of the Parks, who obviously had a scathing rebuke in a statement yesterday, and imagine that this could be headed toward litigation? I'm sure you're prepared for that. You're prepared for everything. But that specifically, look, you know the history. George Lucas knows how powerful that entity can be. How prepared are you for that?
I mean, their executive director, Jen Kilgore, is a very bright person and a great leader. I have great respect for the Friends of the Park. We've met with them before. We'll stay in close communication with them. And again, I think what we as residents of Chicago and the state of Illinois need to continually think about is what can we do collectively to make this environment better, not only for us who live here now, but for our future generations that come. So, and again, you know, these projects are complicated. That's why you do them every 40 years, is that this is not something you could work on every single year. I mean, they test every bit of level of energy that a person has. But I'll just, again, remain positive. We'll remain organized. We'll communicate. And many of the things that we rolled out yesterday are what we've heard that people are hoping to have and what people want, you know, here. And that's how we'll continually communicate with one another's and hopefully we can just work through and come to some resolution as we move forward. But yesterday was exciting, and today I'm really excited about.
You know, we were having a long discussion about the timing of the announcement and why you're almost stealing your own thunder. It's draft day, and we're sitting here talking about the stadium instead of the quarterback, but the reality is you got to operate on different things. What caught my ear is you said that it could be as much as $150 million a year when the stadium isn't built. And I thought to myself, I believe it took 8 years in Minneapolis. It took a while. So 3 years from the time the shovel's in the ground, you can get the building up. How quickly can you get to that? Is that why I believe maybe you want to get to the legislature before they break? Maybe you want that voted on soon. How quickly can you get a vote in, get this done, get a shovel in the ground?
Yeah, I mean, I learned so many lessons during the journey in Minneapolis. And one of the things that I did learn that adage of time is money is real.
Yeah.
And so I'm just cognizant of the fact that every year that we don't reach a resolution in regards to a stadium, it does cost. And then there are issues from an economic standpoint. This is a political year. And I know a lot of people will say, well, this is not the right year. I've never seen it where there is a right year. It always has to be the right year. And because there's enough excuses that exist on these projects that you can say this is not the right year, and you can say that for the next 20 years. And so I just want to make sure that we reiterate that every year that we don't operate, especially where we live with a weather standpoint, which is we had in Minnesota, is we have to be cognizant that you can't drill in the ground in certain times of the year because of the weather. Is, you know, every year that you lose, you're, you know, $150 to $200 million more. And so I just want us to be prudent about the expenditure of finances for us to be able to work together and not to use the excuse that this is not the, you know, right year for us to really look at it and hopefully work together.
Joined by Bears President Kevin Warren for a few more minutes here in Mullane Haw. So this is a steep climb. You know the obstacles in the way to get this done in Chicago on the lakefront. Is Arlington Heights even an alternative at this point? Is there a plan B, or can you not allow yourself to think in those terms?
I mean, I'm at the point where, as I sit here today, I don't allow myself to think about that. Now, I have incredible respect for Mayor Tom Hayes and Randy Reckless and all the elected officials in Arlington Heights. I believe we still are the largest landowner there with our 326 acres. And
it's been one heck of a mall.
Yeah. So that being said, the focus is really on Chicago at this point in time, and we're going to do everything we can to bring this to reality. And so I think one good thing about yesterday, now, because there was a lot of questions over the last couple of weeks. What does this look like? What's the design? What is the cost? And people were just talking, but now they know. And we were able to stand up there and say, here's the financial package. Here's the structure. Here's their capital stack. Here's the design. Here's the timing of it. And then now we can kind of debate those issues of what people like and don't like, but at least it's out in the public. And so I think that's one thing that I was pleased about that happened yesterday, that we were able to at least get it out into the public and be able to talk through those different issues. And I mentioned it, during our conversation together yesterday, is that who do we want to be? I mean, and I know Chicago is a city I love, and this is home. This will be home forever for me and my family. And I know it's a world-class city. But, when I read these articles and they see these listings of these top 25 cities for sports, hosting sports events, and we're not even on the list. And like I said, I get a chance to travel. I look what Las Vegas has done. I mean, just a few years ago, Las Vegas is a place that you went to enjoy for the weekend for certain events, and then you got in and out there. They have now become a dominant city in this country, with the Golden Knights and now the Major League Baseball team coming there and the Raiders and hosting Super Bowl. And when I went there, I was skeptical. They did a great job. So I say that to say is that we have an opportunity here. We are Chicago. We're special, but I think we do need to focus on, what things can we do from a long-term standpoint.
So we're sitting here, we're talking about it. We'll see how that goes. But meanwhile, you got to get up to Halas Hall. You got to get in the draft room. You're going to be able to see what unfolds today. Have you already signed Caleb Williams? And if you haven't, how hard will that contract end up being?
I think one thing I learned, and I absolutely, as I've said it clearly, I adore Ryan Poles. He's been a great partner to work with. He is methodical. He's thoughtful. He has attention to detail. He's got a great staff. We have great people in our building, and they put in so much time. And that's the thing that many fans, I'm sure they understand it now because you all keep up with everything. Fans keep up with everything. But really, next year's draft starts probably tomorrow morning, and tonight started, this time last year, is that they go through a process that is so detailed. So I'm looking forward to tonight. I know we'll get some great players. I do pray for their health, that they can stay healthy and put on a show over this next decade or longer to keep these fans happy.
Last thing before I let you go, what is Caleb Williams like, and what will Bears fans appreciate about him?
I would say one of the things that I've learned the most about these young men that we got a chance to interview at the Combine, that have visited our building on their top 30 visits, that we've had a chance to see over the course of the year, they are incredibly mature. They're physically talented. They work hard. They're disciplined, and they're bright. They understand the game of football. I know when I was in college, but now I listen to a lot of their schedules, and they have personal trainers. They're focused on their diet. It's a group. I got a chance to spend a lot of time with our student athletes at the Big Ten Conference, and to be drafted in the NFL, these are talented young people, and I'm hopeful that we can get a couple of them in this year's draft who can come and have an impact on this team and win. But I tell you what, there's an energy in our building, there's energy in this city, there's a buzz that's going on that I'm excited about, and I'm really looking forward to training camp. I'm looking forward to the preseason. I'm looking forward to the regular season, and I'm looking forward to us building a great franchise and to be able to make the playoffs this year. So I'm excited about what lies ahead.
Thanks for being here.
Bears President Kevin Warren, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are the largest landowner in Arlington Heights still, 326 acres that we own, a beautiful piece of land. But I think we said it before and after today, we're clear that our focus is on the city of Chicago and this museum campus area. So we still own the land in Arlington Heights, but our focus from a stadium development project is here in this campus area.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That, of course, is the voice of Kevin Warren, the president of the Chicago Bears. And we are delighted to welcome in Tom Hayes. He is the mayor of Arlington Heights. And we want to talk to him about the biggest landowner in Arlington Heights. Tom, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mully. Thank you for the invitation to join you today. I'm a day one listener of The Score and of the Mully and Haw Show. I'm very happy to be with you today.
We appreciate that.
Yes.
And so in that vein, I'm sure that you are well aware that Kevin Warren was just our previous guest, and we know what happened yesterday and how you must have viewed it. What is your reaction to what the Bears unveiled on Wednesday at Soldier Field and what Kevin Warren had to say about it?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Kevin Warren and of the whole Bears organization as well. I was a little hurt, though, when he said that Mayor Johnson was his favorite mayor to start off the press conference. But I have great respect for Kevin Warren. We have a good relationship with him over the past year that he's been with the club, as we had a great relationship with Ted Phillips for 2 years before that, and a great relationship with George McCaskey and Karen Murphy for more than 3 years now. So we have great respect for them. We certainly understand their desire to do their due diligence and to explore the lakefront option. But ultimately, we feel that Arlington Heights is still the best option based on what they told us their state of goals were when we first talked to them more than 3 years ago.
And I think we look at it and obviously the stadium, the Arlington racetrack is gone. That has been raised, and the land is there. What happens to Arlington Heights if indeed the Bears build on the lakefront? I mean, the revenue from the track is gone. Are you left with a little bit of a hole here? Are you worried about, you know, they obviously the tax issue, we're all aware of how that unfolded. Are you concerned about your school system if indeed you're not going to have anything built on that property?
No, we're not concerned about it. We do feel, and our goal all along was to attract a redevelopment that would be befitting of the legacy of Arlington Park and something that would be a unique once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for not only the village of Arlington Heights, but also the whole Northwest suburban region. So we've got, actually the Bears have now, 326 acres of prime real estate here in the village and in the Northwest suburbs that's going to be very attractive to a developer. If it's not the Bears, it's going to be somebody else who's going to put something very unique and exciting there. That'll be yet to be determined. But again, we haven't given up the hope that the Bears are going to come back in our direction if they get a no on the lakefront.
We're talking with Arlington Heights Mayor Tom Hayes here on the Mullen Haw Show, 670 The Score. So Mayor Hayes, in that light as well, so if this is one big leverage play, which didn't sound like it is, but where is the wiggle room in this negotiation with Arlington Heights? What needs to happen for the Bears maybe to find that path more appealing than they do right now?
Well, it's pretty clear based on Kevin Warren's stated desire to remain on the league front that's their first option. And so, we're very happy to be plan B or plan 1A, whatever you want to call it at this point. We're waiting in the wings if they do get a no on the lakefront. And again, I do feel that the short-term tax issues with the school districts are going to be easily resolved if the Bears do get a no on the lakefront and turn back in our direction. So I don't anticipate that that's going to be a problem. But that's just a short-term issue. Then if they do commit back to Arlington Heights, we've got a lot of other issues that we have to look at, and we have to do our own due diligence to determine whether or not a Bear Stadium in Arlington Heights would be best for our community.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but the one thing that I can't seem to get over is the idea of a publicly owned building where you're choosing to be tenant instead of owner, and that's what has always given me pause about the lakefront. And we'll see. I'm sure Friends of the Lake, there will be a lot of hurdles to get through that. But if you build in Arlington Heights, you own your own building, which would seemingly indicate that you get your own profit and you make more money and the franchise is worth more. Am I wrong in that thinking?
No, I think you're exactly right, Molly. That's what the Bears told us from day one, was that they were looking to own their own stadium and to build, have enough property around their stadium to build an entertainment district, dining and entertainment district, and provide a game day experience that would provide substantially more revenue than what they are realizing at Soldier Field down on the lakefront. So Arlington Heights, we don't have a lakefront like Lake Michigan, but we've got everything else that they really said they were looking for from day one. And I believe that the Arlington Heights property would provide substantially more revenue if the Bears were to own not only their own stadium, but the whole 326 acres around it to develop that and to provide jobs for construction and redevelopment of that entire site.
That's the thing that's hard for a lot of us to get past, because that was the original stated goal and primary objective. So help us understand this, because we don't want to oversimplify it, but it seems like when Ted Phillips was running the Bears, when he was the team president, this looked very appealing to the McCaskies and very much understandable from the outside. They want to own their own stadium. Here's a big patch of land and they can do that. When Kevin Warren arrived, and we just talked to him about it, you know how much he was in love with the idea of staying in the city. Did his arrival, is that the biggest reason this isn't happening in Arlington Heights?
Well, I think that's a big part of it for sure, David. The Bears told us, as you said, that they had goals at the beginning to own their own stadium and to have a big piece of land to redevelop as they wish. And so the focus, the direction seems to have changed with the new leadership. And I understand that. I respect that. If that's the direction they want to go, then, more power to them. And if they can get it done on the lakefront, then we understand that. But, we're here ready and willing to continue our discussions with them if they want to refocus back in Arlington Heights.
How much is there a difference in cost to the project if they are on the lakefront versus Arlington Heights? In other words, I would imagine, Mr. Mayor, that you're talking about infrastructure issues if you build a stadium at the site where it is. I know how close you are to the highway. I mean, I spent a lot of time at the racetrack. I learned a lot about life's lessons. There's the rail station. I mean, there are a lot of things that are perfectly in place. But from an infrastructure standpoint, what would the cost be versus downtown? In other words, do you think it would be cheaper for them to build their stadium in Arlington Heights than coupling with the city on a project on the lakefront?
Well, that's certainly yet to be determined, because we don't have formal plans submitted yet. They did submit the preliminary plans that everybody's familiar with for the Arlington Heights property. But the Bears did sign a pre-development agreement with us about a year and a half ago that specifically states that they would not be asking for money from the Village of Arlington Heights to build the stadium, and that they would only be asking for infrastructure costs, associated infrastructure costs, if we could show or they could show that it would be financially feasible for us, that there would be a net fiscal positive. And so, you know, we've got an agreement to that effect. You know, I do think, however, that because of the rail service, the Metro line that stops right at Arlington Park, the infrastructure costs would be substantially less than what you're looking at the lakefront.
So Kevin Warren obviously is making the rounds. They're selling the idea that was presented yesterday publicly at Soldier Field for the first time. We saw the renderings. From your standpoint, what do you do now? Do you just wait? And what do we need to know that we don't know about the Arlington Heights stake in this project?
Well, I think that, you know, I've been making the rounds as well. I've done a lot of interviews the last few days. I'm sure I'll do some more today. But, you know, we just want to get the message out that we continue to believe that Arlington Heights is the best solution for the Bears Stadium issues for the next 50 years. You know, I attended my first Bears game at Wrigley Field back in the late 60s. Wow. They were at Wrigley Field for 50 years. They were at Soldier Field for 50 years. We anticipate that ultimately they're going to be at Arlington Park for 50 years or more. So we stand ready. I think, you know, the short-term tax issues are going to be easily resolved. It's a Bears refocus back in this effort. So we just want to get that message out that we're ready and willing to talk if they get no on the lakefront.
You know, it's our understanding that that tax issue, that there was some give back on it, but they're looking for, you know, cost certainty over whatever the 50-year period is. Could there be a locked-in tax thing if they come back to you?
Well, we're initially just trying to resolve the short-term tax issue, and then we're going to deal with the long-term tax issues once that short-term tax issue is resolved. So yet to be determined. You know, we got to go to step one first before we go to step two. So yet to be determined.
Did the short-term tax issue catch you off guard? Did it catch anyone else off guard? Was there more resistance than maybe you anticipated?
Yeah, I would say that's true. You know, the Village of Arlington Heights is not directly involved in that. It's mainly between the three school districts that are within the 326 acres and the Bears. And I certainly respect and understand their desire to be advocates for their specific positions. And they certainly have done that. But I think there will be a compromise eventually. And so they're very, very close. It's not $100 million apart. It's a very, very small number that I think they will be able to reach agreement on.
So, you know, just to kind of summarize, Tom, when we look at where the Bears are right now, they're trying to get this done. The legislature has been, you know, kind of there's been pushback. Is that kind of what you expect to happen here? Do you expect them to eventually, after this runs into trouble, turn back to you? Because, you know, Kevin Warren claims that they're doing this and they're focused on this. But obviously they still own the property. Do they have to get turned down on the lakefront before you feel like they're coming back? And how long does that take?
Well, I hope it won't take too long. And I know they want to move really quickly, as Kevin said yesterday. And so, you know, it's clearly it never was a done deal in Arlington Heights. I don't think it's anything close to a done deal on the lakefront. Kevin Warren has said, even he just said, as I listened to him this morning with you guys, their focus is on the lakefront for now. And so we have to wait to see what happens there. You know, but I think, you know, what will be, you know, if it's meant to be in Arlington Heights, it'll happen. And we're just waiting in the wings to see what happens on the lakefront.
Mayor Hayes, really appreciate your time. So before we let you go, one really tough question, though. If you were presiding over the Bears draft tonight, who would you take at number 9?
Well, I hope Odunze is available, but I'm not sure about that. I kind of agree with Dustin that he might be gone before they get to number 9. So we'll see what happens.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate your time.
Great stuff.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
That's Tom Hayes. He, of course, the mayor of Arlington Heights. Good guy.
Good
day
dude.
One listener. How about that?
Day one listener, longtime Score fan, and obviously a big Bears fan. And handled that as well as you could under the circumstances because – Imagine being in that situation.
It's tough, man. It's like you're all dressed up, you're ready to go to prom, and someone else taking your girl to the ball.
It's a tough reality, and yeah, he's handled it pretty well. So good for him to to weigh in there. We've had quite
a great morning. Okay, we're going to keep it up. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
After listening and just trying to take all of this in to say, what could we do to help make this city of Chicago, who I deeply love, who the Bears have had a relationship with for many years, you know, what would be the best location to build a new home for the next 40 years? And over and over and over again, that museum campus came up as a location because we've already been there. And I was very sensitive also making sure that we didn't displace any residents who live near there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Kevin Warren, the president of the Bears, kind enough to join us in studio this morning. Really enjoyed the conversation. And we want to remind you, you got to tune in tonight from 5 to 9 after the Cubs game for wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft. It's the Parkins and Spiegel draft special live from Detroit. You can hear expert analysis from Dave Wannstedt and from Patrick Manley. All you got to do, tune in on The Score or the Odyssey app. You can also watch the Parkins and Spiegel draft special. They'll be on Twitch, X, or YouTube. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I think they're on their way right now. I think they took the mystery van.
I saw Shane this morning.
Yeah, the mystery mobile. Yes. Shane's driving, probably on their way. It's probably crowded in there, probably grouchy at this point, you know, getting into traffic. And they got plenty of time.
It's a quick drive. It's only 4 hours.
It's only 4 hours.
You got to get through the city.
Depends on traffic, give or take. So we have had a pretty interesting past hour with Kevin Warren and then followed by Tom Hayes, kind of point counterpoint. It wasn't quite like that. One thing I'm looking forward to maybe asking Mark Gannis, Mully, as he joins us at 8 o'clock. He is the expert, and he knows this inside and out. I wish we'd had more time to explore with Kevin Warren this concept, the idea that there's a race to Springfield with the White Sox. And then is he more limber than Jerry Reinsdorf? You know, he certainly is better dressed. But I think when you look at the White Sox and the Bears competing for the same pool of money, ISFA funds.
Yes.
I wonder if that's reality or perception. And I wonder, because we heard from the White Sox and earlier this week through Crane's Chicago Business and Jerry Reinsdorf willing to put up $200 million of his own money.
They inspired him.
I wonder to what degree. And I wonder to what degree that plays a role in the Bears' quest to get this taken care of. And as you pushed him a little bit on, when do you get the shovels in the ground?
Well, that's the problem.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
If it's $150 million a year, David, we're talking, I don't think they're getting them in the ground this year.
I don't think so.
Mike is in Orland Park. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. Let's hear me out for a second. David, grab your partner and two-step around the dome issue with Kevin Warren. You asked him specifically why they wouldn't want to own everything with the stadium. And all he did was talk about the legacy of the Bears, 100 years here on the lakefront. He asked the people, this is what they want, the fans, the executives. Did he ask them that they want to fork over more public money? Did he ask them that? He never specifically said how much it's going to cost the state. The city's broke. The state is broke. You got to go to the legislator. Okay. I believe that he's on the pipe for some hard money in Arlington Park, and now he wants the city and the state to give him money. Oh, they're going to throw in $2 billion. Well, if they're throwing in $2 billion, throw in another billion and pay for it yourself. There's no reason why any money should come out of the public's pocket. And he didn't answer. All he did was tap dance. And I hope the new stadium has a great menu, like a great big juicy delicious BS burger, because that's what he handed you guys. And I can't believe that anybody's going to fall for this. I just don't understand why they can't foot the bill on their own. And asking for public money to build in this city and not want to own it themselves is the reason. They don't want to pay for it all themselves.
Thanks, Mike. It's a popular sentiment. There's going to be a lot of pushback. I think it is a steep climb. The public opinion will be against this idea of the government or the public financing arm of this kicking in $2.3 billion.
I think I asked him the question about why they, because I still don't understand why they want to be part of a publicly owned entity. And the answer, obviously, is tax dollars, lack of tax dollars. It's opposed to the tax dollars in Arlington Heights. That's why they pull out of it.
That's the thing.
That's the answer.
That's the answer.
But I don't think we did a two-step around it. I don't think we were dancing. Maybe he didn't answer that, but we certainly were asking the correct question.
Yeah, I mean, I would not want to dance that early in the morning.
No,
I'm not stretched.
We don't dance.
No, we don't dance. Have you seen us?
We can't stand here and step on each other's toes.
No, we would do that. We don't.
Come on now.
We would definitely. We have no rhythm. We have no rhythm.
Guilty feet have got no rhythm. So there you go.
You might. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, Mike. I don't know why you're getting mad. I mean, listen.
He can get mad. This is going to infuriate a lot of people, big ask. We said yesterday.
No question.
It's an audacious ask, and that will make some people angry.
And let me say this. Like, suppose they came up with, instead of $2 billion, $3 billion, and they wanted the infrastructure done by the state or the city. That's a more reasonable proposal.
Well, that's why I asked him the question.
Yes.
The Bears are worth $6 billion, according to Forbes. He said that he did the studies, and around the country, you're seeing a 50-50 split. But you know what? Chicago is different. He tells us why Chicago is unique. And if it's so unique that you want to build there, you might have to dig a little deeper.
We got a first-class city with first-class problems, Mr. David. And I don't know. I mean, just the pushback that I got from a lot of my friends about it, it was interesting. And I don't know how quickly this could be done. I don't know that the legislator, that the governor, Chris Welch, the speaker, said that if you tried to put that to vote, you're going to fail badly.
Friend of the program. We should try to get him next week.
Yes, we should. And meanwhile, we're going to bring in our guy Mark Gannis. Mark knows all about stadiums. It'll be very interesting to get his take on what he saw yesterday, on what he believes will happen now, and the Arlington Heights thing. We'll also ask him about the connection with the Sox. Is there a race going on? Is that why Jerry, you know, jumped up with his in his night clothes and quickly offered $200 million?
He sleeps in a leather jacket.
No, he doesn't.
That's his pajamas.
Oh, my God. All right. Mark Gatiss next. Molly and Haw, the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.